grandmother came from Russia, a satchel on her knee. My grandfather had his father's cap he brought from Italy. They'd heard about a country where life might let them win. They paid the fare to America, and there they melted in.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown, snowy Cape Girardeau.
Snow's long gone.
Yes, it's not snowing very much anymore. Not that it was much to begin with, but it happened. It was snowy.
It was
right?
Really pretty.
It was pretty. I watched it through most of the day. I also just woke up, so if I've got the sleepies, that's why.
Little sleepy guy?
A little bit.
A little sweepy Shannon?
A little tired. Welcome to the show tonight. It's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man with me, your host, co-host, Shannon Young, the Five Star Man.
No, that's not. That's the one you're not. You're the other one.
Mr. 100, that's what they call me around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm more around. I don't know what my sleep number is, but I'm Mr. Whatever that is.
Sleep number. Yeah, sleep number.
That tickled me.
Down at the end of the table, that's the Five Star Man, Ace of Gray.
Yes, there we go.
Jesse Kimball from Nerd Up is to the left of me.
Yo.
And Jesse, please address her.
Oh, that's
that's Should I just Allie. Leave?
Shannon apparently is not talking to Allie, so this is going to make the podcast
very
really difficult to do.
Yeah. So.
You got to do it right. It's Allie, not actually a bear.
Oh, sorry. It's Allie, not actually a bear.
Yes.
Is that better, Asa?
Yes, I like that.
If Allie,
that makes me, it makes me laugh.
Did you make that too?
Shannon's talking to Allie again. Guys, good news.
If Allie's on a podcast, but I'm not listening, was she ever really there? Question.
What? Yes?
That's a matter of opinion.
What do you even
mean? I don't
understand. All right, here's
going to be a good one.
Here's what we got on tap for tonight. So last week we said we were going to talk about this thing. I don't know how to describe it properly.
Like words and phrases that words just need to be retired.
Stuff that is offensive, you might not realize is offensive. It was going to be a pretty serious show. Okay.
There are weird noises
going on.
Tire
squeals of Broadway singing us their native song.
Let's address the elephant in the room right now, or the ghost in the room. I don't know what it is. So we've been hearing crazy noises all night. Like a good slow ghost hunter style thumping above us. Mm-hmm. Like someone slowly walking across towards the ethereal plane. And like we keep hearing noises and I don't know what it is. And I'm not entirely sure that I am not still sleeping.
Because it's not like just footsteps, because we hear that a lot
here.
It is just like random just knocks.
Yeah.
Knocks. There was one that almost sounded like a pop.
Yeah.
Well, there was one that sounded like someone was in the back just knocking stuff over.
Yeah.
And Ethan, who's next to me over here, Ethan went to go investigate that, and we were all very concerned. We're like, you know, be careful.
Like someone knocking on the back door.
See,
like,
what I think happened, because there is that staircase just right behind us.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that somebody dropped something down that. That's what it sounded like to
my
me.
Theory is it's casting a shadow on the other limb. Or it could be a crackhead who done got hold of the wrong stuff.
Done got hold of. But that last noise was most certainly someone deciding they were really cool on Broadway.
Peeling out of the Dollar General parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cool people on Broadway tonight.
Gotta show off.
All right, so that's the thing we were going to talk about, and we are still going to talk about that. But then this crazy thing happened. All right, this crazy thing. We've talked about PewDiePie mm-hmm. on the show. And his anti-Semitic, quote unquote,
his videos,
the
videos that he posted that have gotten him released from his contracts with Disney and Maker.
And we argued about that to an great extent a couple shows ago. So go back and listen to that because it was pretty good. Well, we thought if you thought that was the tip of the iceberg, now you got JonTron. And I didn't expect this. I got up this morning and I came to work and I get started on my normal day. We have that legendary
PZ85
chat, which right now I believe is
Borderlands
Zilla.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who am I in that?
Roland.
Which Soldier.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You're the main one.
Oh, well. Okay, then.
You're the main Vault Hunter in Borderlands 2.
Or the second game?
Yeah, you like Roland is a playable character in the first game.
And then he's the main guy in the second one. Okay. Yeah. I'll take that. So I get up and I'm doing that thing. And then Asa sends me a message saying, hey, I know we were going to talk about that thing tonight, but should we talk about JonTron? And the last thing I knew about JonTron, I saw on Kotaku a couple days ago. It said JonTron has some interesting immigration reviews and he wants you to know them. And I thought it was just him saying something stupid because the Steve King said that thing last week about how something about you can't build a culture with other countries' babies or something like that. It was pretty controversial, and the basic argument is that America can't really be America
with all these foreigners
in here. And he doubled down on that, and everyone's criticizing him for it. So I thought it was something along the same lines of that JonTron was just reinforcing those views, which he did to an extent.
And what I told you too was like, well, what did he do? And I was like, go to the main chat and scroll up.
Yes, because, that legendary PZ85 chat.
Because Jesse has been summarizing quite well this like hour long debate that he had with another guy.
Destiny.
I was doing the highlights.
Yeah.
Because I was a little bit bored this morning. So I just
kind of
had
bored with this.
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, I was bored and I saw this and I was like, ooh, this is going to be a good way to kill I thought it was going to be a full 2 hour video because the video is 2 hours. The debate itself is only about an hour. The second half of the video is, Destiny continuing to talk with people like that he's streaming to. Yeah. They're talking, making donations, stuff like that. Most of them are pretty supportive of him. A lot of them though had, you know, shifted over from JonTron, or they gravitated over there and they were saying unpleasant things. But either way, yeah, I was watching it and I figured like maybe not everybody else wanted to devote an hour to listening to it. So as phenomenal little quotes would pop up, I'd go ahead and send them to the group. That's what I spend my morning doing.
Well, here's one of the quotes from John. So basically, JonTron went nuts or something. I don't know. I've got a list of quotes here from that debate.
And he just kind of went on a bit of a Twitter tantrum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Words are hard. And people were very surprised.
His Twitter rants, by the way, I should mention, were in direct approval or reinforcing what Steve King said. Mm-hmm. Like his Twitter comments were directly about those. Yeah. That's kind of how it started. Yeah.
And
then he got into an argument with Destiny on Twitter and they're like, well, let's just do this on my stream.
And there's just a lot of people that are just like, wait, hang on. You think what? Yeah. And it was just because it really kind of blindsided a majority of his followers.
Yeah.
Because some of them were pleasantly surprised. Others were horrified.
And that's part of the problem is we're going to read some of these comments that he made. And the scary part is being on his Reddit and on his YouTube channel, especially with the Boogie video that came out today, because a lot of people were saying, no, JonTron didn't say anything wrong. Everything he said is right. It's statistically proven. It's proven. Statistically. Here's some of the things that he said. Just the first thing, and I really recommend you guys go read this or watch the video, because you're probably thinking, oh, you guys are going to talk about more YouTube stuff. That's boring to me. No, this shouldn't be boring to you. Because this is how a lot of people feel right now. This is that white privilege that you hear so much about. And JonTron's not even white.
Yeah. Well, he looks white.
That's all that matters.
Basically,
he can get in the club. Isn't his name John Jafari? Well,
yeah.
And that's the thing, is using language that he would identify with, like, he passes.
Yeah.
Like, he would get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's assimilated.
Well, we'll get there.
So the thing, and he goes on a lot of stuff about immigration. He takes a shot at Irish people. but the clear message on here is that he feels that white people are victims.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. He feels white people are victims. And one of my favorite quotes that Jesse has so generously provided is, what is so offensive about white people saying they'd like to preserve the demographic majority?
In America.
Yeah.
Like, he's specifically talking America here.
What is so offensive about white people saying they'd like to preserve their demographic majority? He also said nobody would ask Japan if it was okay if Japan became a minority Japanese nation. And I saw somebody else post, I think Hunter sent this to us, about if white people went over to Japan and said, or went over to Asia and said, we need less Asians here, or something like that.
Yeah.
And No, okay.
That's just not how it works. It's hard to even talk about it because, like, it just seems so ridiculous. Asinine.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Also, I do want to go back to what Ali said a second ago, where he was talking exclusively about America. You'd think that. But he does say multiple times. In fact, one direct quote is that America and Europe are so interconnected, they're effectively the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of their issues are our issues, and all of our issues are their issues.
Because we're both white nations.
Yeah.
Like, this is a white nation. America,
Europeans are white.
Yeah, and America was founded by Europeans. Yeah,
Does he need to watch Schoolhouse Rock again?
Oh, he needs... Okay, that actually, like, again? It really does...
You're assuming he saw it the first time.
Because it really does sum up the entirety of JonTron's thing. Basically, like, Boogie actually said something that I hadn't thought about. Like, I guess JonTron recently took the red pill, as the internet would call it, and he has these ideas and these feelings now. And he's exploring them, but he hasn't researched anything.
He's like a little Riley Johnson, who's been on my Facebook quite a bit, spreading his beliefs. He's 17 or so, and he's just now getting into politics and the world, and he's got all these views that he's heard because of that whole. You disagree with you if you want, but I feel like the alt-right movement and the whole white victim movement and stuff like that is counterculture to the progression that we've made as a society in especially the 8 years that Obama took office. And it, in a way, has become almost cool for these guys to be rebellious and say the things that everyone's thinking. And they're taking the stance of, well, we're the victims now. And it's like this club that they're all a part of. And it really makes you feel like you belong. It's like a cult in a way. Mm-hmm. It's a cult-like thinking.
And alt-right is.
But there's a lot of them. So it's like a clan.
It's like a clan. Like a clan of people.
Do you guys think they have meetings?
Rallies even. You know?
You think they have like matching robes to conceal their identity? They want to remain anonymous.
Well, because they're all one unit. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
How would it
gets cold on these March nights. Right? So you're going to have to burn something.
And what burns better than a cross,
especially made out of wood or black people.
Oh,
you know? So no, I truly believe that it's become the counterculture now, and everybody loves to rebel. Mm-hmm. And the rebellion is the fact that white people are now the victims and whatnot. And the progressives and the liberals, they're making white people out to be the bad guys. Everyone's doing this whole, well, why should I be ashamed to be white type thing, white mm-hmm. privilege and all that. This is coming from a guy that hates the term white privilege. You all know that about me. I hate the term white privilege to an extent because I didn't understand what white privilege really meant when I was arguing against it. I thought white privilege meant that I never worked for anything in my life and I got it simply because I'm white. That's not what that is. No one would argue that white people don't work hard for what they earn in life. Everybody works hard for what they earn in life. What white privilege is... Well, okay, not everybody. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But this is the perfect example of white privilege in assuming that because you don't know other people's problems and their strife, that you assume it doesn't exist.
Yeah, you don't struggle, so no one struggles.
And that is what JonTron is saying, and so many of this is saying that in one part he literally says we don't have discrimination in America anymore.
Discrimination is a thing, you live in a fantasy land.
Yep. If you think discrimination is still a thing in the United States, you live in a fantasy land.
Whose fantasy land has discrimination in it?
Apparently JonTron's.
Yeah. Like, what an offensive thing to say. And again, this is coming from someone that hates the term white privilege, but he's not even white and his white privilege is showing.
It's got to be the self-loathing.
Half Iranian.
Going to your thing, talking about his comments on Irish people, like he argued that Irish people never faced any sort of persecution.
I have a quote here. Being Irish or people not liking the Irish or Italians doesn't make them not white. It just makes them not liked. Perhaps they had some undesirable traits. I heard the Italian mafia made the rounds, but that would have been a good argument to restrict Italian immigration.
And then, like, the guy who was arguing with Destiny just followed that up pretty perfectly. Yeah, but they didn't. And then they integrated into society and everything became better.
Jesse is an Irishman, like me. This had to offend you.
It did a little bit. Because and it really was annoying because it just showed how ignorant he is of U.S. history.
Yeah.
And I guess when you're making $12 million annually just on YouTube, like reviewing video games and yelling and acting goofy, then you don't have to have an education.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's the most mind-blowing part of this is not Richard Spencer saying this. This is not the alt-right. This isn't Steve Bannon that came out and said these things. This is freaking JonTron, a guy I watched a couple times reviewing Titanic games, is now thrust in the public spotlight over his immigration and worldviews. Mm-hmm. I personally don't care about JonTron's worldviews. I never found him to be entertaining. Mm-hmm. I've never liked JonTron. I said in the chat earlier.
Yeah.
What's that?
Team Danny.
JonTron got
he was a part of the original Game Grumps.
Game Grumps is 1 million times better with Danny instead of.
So, yeah. The thing I have the most problem with what JonTron said, and this is the thing I wanted to address personally, then I want to know what you guys think. But the fact that he and so many other white people think that America is for white people, that we founded it, that this is our country, that white people to America is like the Japanese to Japan, mm-hmm. which I don't, like you said, do you know American history? We took this land from the Native Americans, first off. Mm-hmm. This was never our land. And then like Ali said earlier when we were talking, this nation is a melting pot for all nations and religions across the world. No one owns America except the Native Americans, and we stole it from them, killed them, and then put them on reservations.
Right.
So I don't understand why all these white people are going, well, I'm scared now because the white majority might be losing in America. It was never your majority to begin with.
Well, and it's like that thing I showed you either. Like, well, why are you scared of losing the majority? Is there some, like, inherently disadvantages to not being part of to being a minority group in America?
Yeah.
Are minorities treated poorly or differently? Why else would you be scared? Like, I don't.
If there's no discrimination, why would it matter?
Yeah, there's no discrimination. Everyone's treated fairly.
Well, because, you know, this is a white country and we need to hold on to our white values. Which, by the way, there is no white culture. I want to point that out. There is no white culture. There's Irish culture. There's African culture. There's Iranian culture. But there's no such thing as white culture.
Because white people come from all sorts of different cultures.
Weird, weird different places.
I'm white. I'm Irish. Jesse is Irish.
Yes.
Ali is French.
I'm French, Irish, Scottish, Dutch.
Okay, you're a mutt. We get it. Asa, you're...
Mutt.
Okay.
And I mean, that's what a lot of white people in America are. They're mutts.
Yeah,
and like,
that's what a lot of people in America are.
I mean, even me and Shannon, like, we have a lot of Irish in us. Like, my grandfather, like his parents came here from Ireland.
But we're not pure.
So, yeah, no, I'm not pure. I have no idea what was on my dad's side. He was adopted.
I know my father's side was majority Native American, and that's where I get my Native American blood. My mother was Irish. So I'm definitely – I walk a line between the two biggest drinkers, and I don't drink, which is pretty cool. But yeah, there's no white culture. There's no white America. It's just America, and it's for everybody. And it's really sickening that someone like JonTron – fucking JonTron comes out here and starts telling us how the world should be run. And to his credit, quote unquote credit, at the end of the video, he did said, what did he say?
Yeah,
he
said,
my career.
Yeah, no, he just said, rip my career. Like at the end, like he's like, thanks for talking to me, man. Like I always appreciate it. Cause like Destiny did stay, like you could tell they were friends.
Yeah.
I guess they had known each other for a while. They'd done a lot of stuff. And it was one of those things, like it really just kind of hit Destiny out of nowhere. He's like, wait, JonTron believes this? Like really? So, yeah, when they were talking...
Boogie said the same thing, too.
Yeah, he did. Because when they were talking, like, Destiny stayed surprisingly civil for some of the just ridiculous stuff that JonTron was saying, including, like, about how Canada and America are the same because we come from the same stock. We have the same values and the same culture. It's like... None of that is right. None of that is true. And stock?
Yeah.
Stock.
I like the term stock.
We come from the same stock.
So, because, yeah, we all come from white people.
Yeah.
And that's what he was
we
talking about.
We all hang out. We all hang out together. All white people know each other.
Yeah, every one of us.
So rainbow coalition.
We might be
beige.
Can
we just talk about how Destiny, them being friends and how through the entire thing, I didn't watch it, so I'm taking your information from this, Jesse, that he did stay civil. He stayed calm, which is much more...
Define calm. Like,
He
wasn't insulting. Yeah, he wasn't angry.
He didn't go for the throat.
Well, that's...
Like, he very easily could have.
That's the difference to me. That is the difference, and I might catch flack for this. I'm sorry, Ali. One second. But to me, that is the difference when you have a right-winger and a left-winger arguing, is that the right-wingers are so... loud and so obnoxious and so in your face, and they don't want to, they pivot the conversation, they try to they avoid, and left wingers are so calm and almost get walked
not
over.
Not always.
Yeah.
No, you well, can not, find that on both sides.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to disagree with that one.
All right, but name a left wing personality that is so over the top.
Mayor.
Mayor.
Bill Mayer.
Bill Maher?
Bill Maher. Maher.
Well, you say that, but then he had Milo Yiannopoulos on his show and gave him free reign to say whatever he wanted.
But then anyone who tried to defend Islam, have him give a conversation where someone is defending Islam.
But you look,
and then he goes just
look at the personalities on Fox News versus the personalities on CNN or
that's
MSNBC.
More their hiring than it is their
hiring. Well, it's true also, though,
because it that does exist on both sides. Like, yeah, we see it a lot more often because we are the calm left wing people that are
we're
talking.
Not. Mm-hmm. No, if this wasn't an unrated show at this point, I mean, we would have thrown out plenty of F-bombs because this is legitimately frustrating to read these quotes. Here's some more quotes from this, by the way. Or, Ali, you had a point first.
Sorry. I was saying something.
Sorry.
Yeah, but then I interrupted.
Well, speak louder.
The point that I was trying to get to is whenever you have discussions like this on topics that can be frustrating, it works out better if you are able to stay calmer, in a sense, or if you're able to have an actual discussion and argument with someone and bring up your points without yelling, without... normally cussing,
name calling, insulting.
If you're able to be civil, you're going to do more for the conversation. You're going to do more to help the person come to realize what they're saying might be wrong.
I mean, it's the same thing like you did with the gay marriage show you did with Nate.
I could have
like
killed
him. Yeah, you could have shattered his world view.
I mean, I got criticized for going too easy on him. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't my intent to destroy him. It was, and actually a point I was going to make, so I'm sorry, Allie, jumped the gun there, because that's where I'm heading towards that in a few minutes. We'll get back to that. A couple more quotes, though, just to get you angry again. Nobody wants to become a minority in their own country. Why is it bad if they whites remain a majority?
Why is this my country?
It's not our country. It's not whites' country.
Yeah, like, we are the majority demographic, but, like, it doesn't need to be that way. And that was one thing that Destiny asked JonTron over and over and over again. Why do you think it would be bad for whites to lose the majority demographic? And JonTron pivoted around and danced around that question. Like, he was asked it, like, up front at least 10 times and never answered the question.
Because he knew he couldn't just outright say, well, because not white people are worse than white people.
Because he did
they're more dangerous.
But
they're,
he did multiple times say stuff like, rich black people commit more crime than poor white people. And there is so much crime against white people from non-white people.
Yeah.
You can just go up and kill a white person. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, it matters. But if you say that it matters, then you're racist.
Also said, why does an economy have to keep growing forever? People don't need gadgets all the time.
Yeah. And that was actually, I love Destiny's follow-up to that. Like, that little quote is like, dude, you are saying that as a millionaire. Like, you have poor people out there that are able to afford a smartphone because they're being manufactured inexpensively. That is awesome to me that poor people can afford nice things because of the way the economy is working, because immigration helps the economy. You can't just be there as a millionaire, like saying this, like, we don't need cheaper stuff. Other people do.
It's like that congressman who's just like, oh, well, you know, if you want healthcare, maybe don't buy an iPhone.
Yeah.
I was like, actually just looking at that because I remember.
Because that's the same thing. A $400 phone versus thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars.
Jason Chavez, he said that on, I don't remember what show it was, but choose between healthcare or phone. Maybe you don't need that new gadget. We're entitled.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you need to invest that in your healthcare. And like John Oliver had the great point about that is like, if healthcare cost what an iPhone cost, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Yeah. Also said,
his healthcare is subsidized since he's a congressman.
Right.
And his campaign funds actually went to buying iPhones for his staff. So.
Ali said this earlier already, but we've gotten rid of discrimination in our Western countries. If you don't think we've gotten rid of discrimination, you're living in a fantasy land, and the oppression in America does not exist. So these are all things that JonTron said, and
to me, part of it has to be like they have to be looking into the past as like actual slavery, actual genocide.
Yeah. He's basically saying they don't hang black people as much in public anymore.
Right.
So clearly there's no such thing as
discrimination. There's no government-sanctioned
There's no whites only anymore. There's no blacks only restrooms. So clearly, we don't have discrimination anymore.
Right. I have to just think that that's what they're saying. But because they just truly don't understand. Like
that is such a precious snowflake kind of thing to say. You know, I don't know. I don't know the right term. I'm still sleepy. I'll claim that. But I will say that I almost give JonTron credit for saying these things in public, knowing what it would do. Like clearly he knew what it was going to do to him.
Yeah.
And he still said it. Cause then he at least has the balls to back up his convictions with being open about it. Now compare that to Boogie, who did a video today defending JonTron and other people. The only reason he didn't defend him outright is like he said, he's not going to get any more job offers from anywhere else. So he has to be careful with what he says, but it's not JonTron and those people that are doing the bad things. So, it's the people out to destroy them.
That was actually the one thing about Boogie's video that bothered me was that he was talking about this conspiracy that if any YouTuber ever slips up, the big guys, the IGNs, the Kotakus,
the established media.
The established media are going to come down on them as hard as they can because they don't like that they feel these YouTubers are moving in on their territory. And they can
do it on their own.
Yeah, and to an extent, there might be a little bit of truth to that.
But that's not what this is about.
It's not. And he did make several comments about, like, he doesn't agree with JonTron. JonTron said some really outlandish things. He had never known JonTron to think this way.
Because he is his friend. And he was kind of blindsided by, like, out of nowhere, just like,
Yeah, and even Boogie said, like, I guess recently he, you know, as the internet would say, he took the red pill. And now he's exploring these new ideas. And the only reason I think that Boogie didn't outright condemn what JonTron said is because what Asa was telling me, apparently he did a poll and like his viewership is split almost right down the middle on
political partisanship.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if he disagrees with JonTron,
he should be more.
He doesn't have the balls to say I disagree. Instead, he danced around it. He pivoted the argument away from what JonTron said and more towards the people trying to destroy these YouTubers. Like you said, he turned it into an anti-YouTube crusade somehow.
Yeah.
And he said that, and I sent quotes to Asa before you watch it, that he blamed the people who are quote-unquote addicted to outrage and addicted to the power it gives them. And that's why they're going after people, and they're trying to destroy his peers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what this is about.
That's not what this like particular one is about, because he did try to lump in JonTron with PewDiePie, with Colin Moriarty from Kind of Funny, and Philip DeFranco. Philip DeFranco is facing some very minor backlash because
he has some conservative viewpoints.
And
there's nothing wrong with having conservative viewpoints.
Not at all.
And by the way, I'm going to say this, and this might get me in trouble with you guys, but this Colin Moriarty, is this the guy that tweeted out on Women's Day?
Finally some peace and quiet.
I have no problem with that. Like, let me explain. Like, I know that that's a joke against women. Fine. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't offensive. It wasn't like he made a bad joke. This is the kind of jokes, like, I can't say this guy deserves bad things. When I laugh at these kind of jokes, I'm married with children.
Right. And that's the thing is it's like,
this was a harmless joke.
I don't think he had to step down from Kind of Funny because of this one incident.
Yeah.
Now,
if there's more, I don't know about.
This really kind of smells of there was already some maybe tensions, and this is all pure speculation on my part, but it just feels like there was some tensions that we didn't really see watching their content.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, and this was just kind of that.
This was the tipping point.
The pressure from like, oh, hey, you're making a really sexist joke on International Women's Day.
Finally, some peace and quiet, though. That is just a, like you said, a bad yet harmless joke.
I wouldn't say it's harmless.
Because if it's the one and only joke ever, okay, maybe it's harmless. But if it's constantly being said by different people, it's not harmless. Words are not harmless.
But my God, okay, but you can't pick and choose which jokes are offensive to some people and others not. You can't just go, okay, well, I have a problem with what he says because I'm a woman and this affects me. But then other people make jokes about other stuff and we don't ever talk about them. So why does this guy get so much crap?
I'm not saying that like any other jokes are okay.
What was so bad about this joke? Finally, some peace and quiet. It's an off-color joke, sure. But like in the grand scheme of things we've heard other people say, like Hitler did nothing wrong, the Jew thing. Like why is this lumped together with all these other bad things for a joke that seems completely just there.
Well, that was actually Ace's point, is that it all shouldn't have been lumped together.
No.
These are various things that, like, the internet is angry about, and that's why Boogie put them together. But he really shouldn't have, especially if he was trying to make a point about the media's crusade against YouTubers. As far as that joke, it's one of those things like, no, it wasn't a big deal, and it wasn't a joke, or it was a joke, and I'm sure that he has the utmost respect for women and everything else, but it continues to propagate that sexist idea. And there are other people out there who see that joke, and they see people laughing about it, and they then, that gives them permission.
And they don't even see it as a joke?
Okay, yeah. Right.
So what do we do to these people then? What do we do to the humor that we find? And I said this to you earlier, Allie. I said, okay, this PC culture, I don't get it anymore. Like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be so outraged by these things that are said that we should stop them from being said?
You're not supposed to be outraged, but you just can't, like...
Well, I can't laugh?
You can't condone certain, like, jokes that, like, that propagate this, like, sexism, racism, etc., because that just keeps it going, and we don't want to keep it going. We want to try and stop it.
There, scenario of a woman, if that's just the only thing she sees all day, is that bad joke, she'll move on, it'll be fine. But if it's been an entire day of those types of jokes, the types of jokes of women are loud and nagging and they're too emotional and all of this stuff, that's going to affect her.
Okay, so...
And that's just something else on the fire.
So then should we take the side, and you guys, I know you guys are going to tear me apart on this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So should we take it on the side of white people who hear all of these things about them, about white people being oppressive and white privilege and all of this, who maybe feel slighted? Should they not feel slighted by that in the same way that women feel slighted about a joke like finally some peace and quiet?
They shouldn't be, because there's truth to the white thing.
Not every white person.
Correct.
But so why is it women are saying, well, this is offensive to me because it propagates this, but white people, no, it doesn't propagate it because some of it's true for some of you.
It's more true, like, okay, is it true for, like, any significant portion of women that, like, them going off and doing their own thing, like, creates some peace and quiet for the day?
I don't know. I don't know all women.
Okay, so there's no significant portion that that statement is true for.
And you're saying a significant portion of white people are oppressive?
Yes.
Is
how? What do you have to back that up with?
What are you talking about?
What do you have to back that up with? That white people are majority. Okay. No, shut up for a second. That are majorly suppressive.
I didn't say majority. I said a significant number. A significant number is any number that oppresses anybody else. The fact that we have a court system that finds more black people guilty than white people for the same crimes, you don't think that's a significant thing?
It's significant, but what is your number for significant?
Any number that is significant.
So you don't think the amount of significant number of white people that do that are not possibly equal to the significant number of women who do that?
It's significantly higher.
But you don't have any proof of that.
I don't need proof. It's a straight statement.
Go ahead.
Okay. What negativity in the world is put in there by a woman speaking, by a woman being around? What negativity is put in the world by a white person discriminating against a minority?
When you say white people discriminating against a minority, it makes it sound like every single white person in America discriminates against a minority all the time. When what you're really talking about are people in power, people who have the ability to oppress.
Okay, I'm not...
Yes?
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that. My point is, though, a woman being around and maybe getting on someone's nerves is not an issue in this world. It shouldn't be. Someone should not go, women are awful because they decide to talk.
No, you're absolutely right.
But there is a group of people with power that discriminate against someone. That is something that needs to be worked on. And then that's the difference.
So whenever we address...
And I just want to say one thing real quick. One, I want to apologize that I said shut up to Allie.
Thank you.
And two, I kind of am playing devil's advocate. I didn't mean to get you so riled up. So I want to apologize for that. I don't feel like white people aren't oppressive. I do. And I know exactly what you're saying. But I do have a problem with this particular thing. I don't think the joke was that terrible. Like, in the grand scheme of all the jokes I've heard lately.
No, it's not. But the problem is, like I said.
I want to get some...
So, basically...
Some friendliness back in here, because I didn't mean to set everybody off.
The it is not the most offensive thing someone could have said. No, it's not, you know, it's definitely not the worst thing someone said about women. It's a combination of the timing of it being International Women's Day. Woman's Day. You know, where's International Men's Day? It's the other 364 days of the year is what it is. It's the poor timing, as well as just we're at a point where that kind of humor is slow. Like, yes, 10 years ago, 20 years ago when I'm Married with Children, you're seeing that six times an episode. But
also, you could see movies like Blazing Saddles. And
yeah, just well, but as a society, we are progressing farther and farther. And what, yes, may have been a harmless joke. And I personally, I don't think he should have had to, like, I don't think he had to resign. I don't think he was forced to resign over the joke. I really do believe that this was just kind of the final straw that led to more tensions between
that we don't know about.
That we don't know about, yeah. I don't think it was just, you made this joke, okay, now you're fired. I really do think that it was it.
But he has gotten backlash over the joke.
And he has. And as a public figure, and you say something inflammatory, that's just how you live now.
We've said this before. Freedom of speech means you can say what you want, but it doesn't mean that you are immune to the consequences that come from
and
it.
And so, right. Yeah, this wasn't a particular – I don't think this was a particularly offensive joke on the scale of it registers. Like, it makes the ripple. But no, it's definitely not anywhere near what could have been said. But we're at a time as a society, we are progressing. The progressive side is growing. We are seeing that, you know, like you said, the counterculture and the uprising of trying to revert back because it's cool, because they feel outnumbered.
Yeah.
And they are.
They want an identity.
And so now we're at the point where, okay, what used to be okay to say and what used to just be a funny joke is now, oh no, that's actually just reaffirming this idea. Like even you telling Allie to shut up.
Which, by the way, to be fair, I didn't say that specific, and I don't feel like I should have to defend this, but I'm going to. I didn't say shut up, Allie, in the sense that you're a woman, shut up. I meant it more of, I'm having an argument with him, shut up for a second.
I know none of us know that.
Yeah.
But the people listening might think I was just trying to shut her down because she's a woman.
And not even that they think that, but you have the ability to do that. The men are talking. The men have more, you know.
And if that's how you took that, anyone listening, I didn't mean it that way, and I do apologize.
And you may not have meant it that way, but it was still that way. Whether or not you intended it like that,
that's an interesting thing to say. That's an interesting thing to say, because if I didn't mean, and Allie and I talked about perception versus reality last night, which is the weirdest thing. If I didn't mean it that way, how can it be that way?
It's every argument of, you hurt my feelings. Well, I didn't mean to. Okay, but you still did.
So you're saying subconsciously, like without me knowing it.
Not subconsciously.
And not you specifically. Just in general, you have the ability as a man
to just tell
Allie to shut up. If you would have tried to tell me to shut up, if you and I were having that argument and you tried to tell Jesse to shut up, he wouldn't have shut up.
No, Jesse would not have.
Well, I might have said it. And Allie, if you would have told me no, F you, like I would have fully expected it, because the moment I said it, again, I didn't mean to say it as, I'm a man, you're a woman, be quiet.
I
meant it more as, I get heated when I'm angry.
And again, none of us at the table think that you think any less of Allie because she's a woman.
I don't.
We don't think that. Yeah. But it is that ingrained sociology.
And that's the part, and Allie, I swear to God, this one last thing, and I'm going to let you talk. I don't mean to keep cutting you off. But I think that is where my rage comes from when it comes to the white privilege and stuff like that, because I know it exists. I know it's a thing. But because I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way about black people. I don't see black people as lesser creatures. I truly see everyone, or at least I like to think I do, but I might not subconsciously. But I like to think that I think of everyone as people. I don't discriminate against black people. If a black person comes in our store, I treat them just as well as everybody else. Gay people, Mexicans, whatever. I don't care. I like to think of people as people, women included. So when I hear people talk about the white privilege and things like that, even though I know it exists, I get that counterculture and I go, well, I'm not that way. Stop trying to make me feel that way.
And it's one of those things like, and I feel like you're just taking that wrong. It's what I was trying to say earlier.
I definitely am. Like it's on me.
Yeah, because they're shining a light on this issue because it's an actual issue. And us as white people, like we may not be guilty of it, like personally, like the people at this table are not guilty of oppressing anybody, but like, it's a thing that's happening, and we need to, like, you know, show our support. We need to help. We can't, like, say, well, I'm not doing that, so it's not a thing for me.
And that's the white privilege showing as I'm arguing against white privilege, and that is where the counterculture comes from, and I want to mention more of that in a second, but I've been cutting Allie off the entire time. Allie, please.
what I was trying, my point with the joke was that no, he shouldn't have had to resign just because of the joke. If there's more to it that we don't know, so be it. But if it was just because of the joke, that shouldn't be it. It was a distasteful joke. He should have been told that was distasteful. You shouldn't have done it. It wasn't really that funny. But he shouldn't have lost his job or been forced to resign. My point was just kind of an overall point of, if you are going to make these jokes, you need to realize the effect it can have. Because if it's, like I've said before, the one joke, it doesn't matter. But if you're hearing these jokes everywhere, it's going to affect you. Because it has affected me. These types of things happen. And it affects people. It's why whenever you told me to shut up, I shut up.
You shouldn't have. You should have told me to shove it.
And I
would have deserved it.
But it's just been 21 years of...
You are a woman, men are speaking.
Yeah.
You so,
and maybe even, and maybe not even that explicit. Maybe like maybe no one has ever actually said those words to you. But it is that, okay, like, well, you can't... And I don't mean like... As just from doing these shows for over a year now, like this show... It's just the nature of Shannon and I. We just go. We get on a roll, and then it's just, and it is hard to get that edge in. And so, but it's I don't want it to be, you know, oh, because, well, you know,
it's never
disregard what Allie's going to say because we're on a point. It's just we just get going, and it's never meant out of a place of disrespect.
It's never because she's a woman. She doesn't know what we're talking about,
right?
You know.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just one of those things. Like Asa was saying, society has ingrained that in her.
Oh, so and whether or not it's, you know, like I said, like whether or not it is explicitly done, there is just that kind of low level. And now we're at a point where, oh, finally some peace and quiet. Instead of getting, you know, uproarious belly laugh, we're kind of at a point where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, like, if he was a comedian and he made the joke, because he's a funny dude. I like Colin Moriarty a lot. I think he does a good, he's usually the devil's advocate on the kind of funny stuff. I think him and Greg Miller have a great rapport. They're a lot of fun to watch together. Apparently, like the Kotaku article on it mentioned that he was the conservative one and everyone else was more liberal leaning. And so that may have caused some tensions as well. But I'm sure he's a nice person. He's smart. He's well informed. He's well spoken. I enjoy watching him. And, you know, even, you know, a wrestler or someone else, like if Kevin Owens made a tweet like that, it would just be like the reaction for me personally would just be at least be funny with it,
yeah.
Because it is just it was a lazy joke,
let me just say first what I said about the counterculture thing. I'm a perfect example of what could be because I like to think of myself as strong, pretty stubborn and strong willed, and I get riled up when we talk about these things because, like I explained before, I'm not that way, and I don't want to be lumped in with all these people who I know are that way. And I know a lot of people like Riley Johnson, who's 17, and may not have the experience that I have of life, of knowing the difference between me and a lot of people is that when I say things like that, I see the mistake I made, I see the point of view, I can be taught that my point of view was wrong, and you guys can talk me down from it because I was being an idiot, and I can go, okay, I was being an idiot, I'm wrong. But a lot of these guys, like Richard Spencer, like Riley Johnson, like JonTron, maybe, we'll see, they get this idea in their head of how it is, and when they're told, no, you're wrong, they double down on it, and it makes them want to be even more rebellious, and they want to get even more in your face, because there are people that will vindicate and justify their beliefs. And not a lot of people have the ability to go, well, I'm wrong, and backtrack. And that's dangerous because I don't know where we go as a society from here. I really don't, because a lot of these guys, I don't think they're ever going to change their views. So what do we do with people like JonTron and people like Richard Spencer? Because the easy answer, and what I fully expected you guys to say when we got here today, all three of you, because I know all three of you have very little tolerance for stupidity. You have very little tolerance for people that say not things you disagree with, but things that are so outrageously
racist.
Wrong. Yeah, racist and wrong and sexist. But what do we – I expected you guys to say, F that guy. They're pieces of garbage.
That's not productive.
Well, and exactly. That's what surprised me. I kind of expected it from Allie, and I wonder what you guys think, because Allie is definitely probably the most level-headed person I know. And do we ignore these people and just call them terrible and stupid and trash and get off our screens and get off this? Or do we debate them? Do we try to change their mind? Do we try to show them the right way? What do we do?
I mean, I've always been all for, like, you know, having an open conversation, trying to see where it goes and talking to them. If it looks like you're not going to get anywhere, you know, maybe hopefully you've planted some seeds. But that's the best thing you can hope for in a lot of situations. But otherwise, like, if they're not going to change their mind, yeah, you just kind of have to move on and ignore them. Like, I didn't watch JonTron in the first place. I am for darn certain not going to be watching him in the future. I'm never going to have a conversation with JonTron because that's not going to happen. He's a millionaire.
Give it some time. Depends on how far he falls.
He might end up needing that PZ85 bump.
Yeah.
it's one of those things. That's all you really can do. You can try and move on. And it's very clear where we are in society. The fact that people are complaining about PC culture means we are progressing.
Yeah, but
it's like, oh, I can't. You mean I have to actually, like, why? I can't just call him a fairy? Like, I can't just.
That would, he's right. That would be a good segue into the things that we said we were going to talk about tonight. Like, things that you say that you don't realize that they're bad. Like, I know, how many people do you know? How many people do you know right now? And I know you all know people like this, who when something weird, something they don't like, their first reaction is to go, that's gay.
I was one of them.
I was too.
I 100%. All of us were.
Yeah. That was just something you said.
Like,
what's sad is when you hear people our age say it now.
If you were a teenager in the, like, 90s and early 2000s, yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
I guarantee you did.
I remember in junior high, we had to do something. I forget what it was, but someone, one of the teachers asked, how was it? And they go, oh, it was gay. And they were, and the teacher just goes, how can an event be gay?
Well, I've told
it was happy.
I told you guys the story. A woman came into GameStop once and was looking for games for her, and she was like a 27-year-old mother, a 30-year-old mother, the young hip mother. And she comes in and she's like, well, I want a game for my kid. What about, is this one gay? Is this a gay game? And I thought, like, you're a grown woman. Like, why are you saying things like
that's
that?
That's the same thing, along calling something retarded.
Or Riley. Again, I hate to harp on Riley, but he's a good example of, like, just that on the verge. Like, he's kind of figuring out, he's trying to figure out himself. You hear that classic, well, he's young. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a second. He's young and he's trying to figure out who he is. We talked to him on Monday and he got suspended because he got in an argument with a girl and told her to kill herself. And I told him, I'm like, you know, that's stupid, right? Like, you know, that is a stupid ass thing to say. But when you're, I don't know, when you're a kid, you say things like that.
He plays a lot of League of Legends. That's that.
But like, that's a terrible thing to say.
No, it absolutely is.
And it has
is.
No place in society. No.
You were correct. Mm-hmm. That is that whole, like, he is one of those.
He forgot
toxic,
he wasn't on the internet.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't say, I'm jacked IRL, come fight me. Like, it's,
he has,
like,
over 150 confirmed kills with the Navy SEALs.
I love that copy.
He's basically a soldier.
So yeah, that's what happened. Like, I'm sure that he has told numerous people that on League of Legends, just like that douchebag last time you and I tried to play League of Legends.
At least he didn't tell me to kill myself, he just said quit.
That's true, he said uninstall.
Never play again, yeah. And that's just coming from us, like, you know, Allie, you tell me.
About what?
You tell me what you've heard.
Because
as we have firmly established, whether we mean to or not, there's a lot of times, and I'm super guilty of this, making a joke about like the whole finally some peace and quiet. That's a joke I would make, not meaning any actual harm from it, but I thought, well, comedy's comedy. Anything's up for grabs, right?
Right. But at the same time, like, if you made that joke in the group chat, it would have immediately been met with, that's not cool.
Well, everyone
said, funny.
Except Tanner. He would have backed me up.
Would he?
No. David Tanner would have been like, that's terrible.
No, yeah, he would have started to type that, and then, like, something inside of him would have said, like, it would have just, like, Brandy's voice would have, like, gone off.
I like to think Tanner, when he comes across something like that, he's got a little angel and a devil, but they're both buckets.
Oh, my God. I genuinely thought you were going to go with, like, yeah, I'll be the devil, and then Brandy's the angel. But nope, the buckets.
So, Allie, here's something you've heard, because I know, because my cousin said it, was that you're too young to understand things.
I was also told I was too young to have an opinion.
Yeah.
So, it's with a lot of things in life, it's more experience than age. And there are many people that have a lot more experiences at a young age that they shouldn't have. And some, most of them are bad. Honestly, most of them are bad. And it's sad. And it's scary. And those experiences make someone grow up. It can be awful things that happen to you, or having to deal with sick parents, or having...
That'd be me.
Or being in in foster homes. It can be a lot of things.
That'd be Blue.
And to, to just assume that someone can't comprehend something because of an age, unless it is scientifically proven, because there are certain things that a person have... There's a certain age you don't get metaphors until you're like... But it's a young age.
Like, all of this is super young. If a four-year-old comes up to me and is like, Twump's wallet's gonna prevent all of the bad hombres. Like, no, no, go...
You don't understand.
Go, you don't... This is something... You are too young to...
You're being a parent right now because you're a child. Yeah.
Right.
But there... Whenever your mind is developed enough to understand abstract ideas... It's absurd to tell someone that they can't understand something.
It's one of those things, like, wisdom does come with experience.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely true. But that doesn't necessarily mean that a person that's older is more wise than a person that's younger.
No.
Yeah, it comes with experience, not age.
Right, yeah. There's someone, a writer, that said by the age you're 21, you should have enough experience to write until you're dead. That... means that you get so much experience before you're 21.
I mean, my friend Jeff, who is in... Actually, I think he might be out of jail now. Like, will you say, you know, I feel like you have more experience than he has. And he's a year older than me, so he's 35. And his experience is entirely made up of deal drugs, go to jail.
I mean, he has different experiences than I do.
Well, it's true, but like...
And your experiences shape your opinion. And
mm-hmm. He likes jail. That's the only thing I can figure out because he keeps going back to it.
I know this is wildly off topic, but just real quick, it's combined with a thing that I read today, as well as a thing that JonTron had said, where he just dismissed the idea of that wealthy black people are more than likely to go to prison than poor white people over the same crime. And he just dismissed it by like, oh, well, that would imply that the entire justice system is racist.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
And so between that, and like the idea of for-profit prisons, mm-hmm. and how much money they sink into lobbying against the legalization of marijuana, and their only argument against it is, yeah, but with less things being illegal, less people would be criminals and less people would go to jail, so there would be less demand, so we would lose money.
Mm-hmm.
In
other words, drugs
mind.
Is extremely profitable
and extremely racist.
Yes. There's the documentary on Netflix called The 13th.
Yeah.
I recommend everyone watch it. I watched it. It was great. They talked about how whenever they started the war on drugs, it criminalized people. They viewed it as criminals and not as health.
Yeah.
Not as something that could be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Because prison,
and
yes, is supposed
that was a huge thing that affected our country and still does.
Because prison is absolutely a punishment. Like, you don't go to a spa. You don't, like, yeah. This isn't just a vacation from responsibilities in life. It is supposed to be a mean of punishment. But there are an astronomical number of people who just can't assimilate back into productive society.
Mm-hmm. Like
once
Jeff.
Once they have served their time, the availability of trying to find a legitimate job, trying to find legitimate housing, is just not there. And so they just fall into, oh, well, I can still stay with my buddy. I have no money to pay him. Well, if I sell this, then that'll get me some cash for rent. Well, then I can just use a little bit. And then it's just a terrible cycle of injustice. And just something that... always, I'm like, it's, I'm not doing anything with my degree. I'm not going to end up doing anything with my degree, but it is just something that I can't, every time it comes up, it just gets under my skin. And
I make jokes about Jeff. But in all honesty, I feel like the system failed him in a lot of ways. Jeff's dad died when he was a kid. His mom raised him as best she could, but we had a lot going against us because we were both poor and we both grew up in a poor neighborhood. And there was a lot of crime, a lot of drug, and it was more available. Drugs were more available than education or privilege or whatever you want to call it. Like, drugs were more available than anything else.
Than not drugs.
Yeah. Jeff got into this. He went to jail the first time for drugs. He gets out of jail, and he can't really get a job. He's got this arrest. Mm-hmm. Nobody really wants to hire him. He stole. He did his time, but when he got out, nobody wants to touch a felon.
Because he has a record, yeah.
Nobody wants to touch it. So what does he do? He deals drugs. Because
it's what's available
to him. It's what's available because drugs were available. He goes to jail again. He gets out. He has no money.
And now not only now is he out, but he's out again. So he's a repeat offender.
He's a two-timer at this point. He lives with his grandmother because he can't get a place of his own, really, because he has no money.
No one will touch him. No one will rent a two-time offender.
So the last time Jeff went to jail, it's because he robbed a dollar store for money because he couldn't get money any other way. And it's so easy to look at people like that and go, well, you're scum. You're what's wrong with society. You rob, you deal drugs, you're a terrible person. And I feel like that's a privilege too for people that look down on people like that who don't know what it's like to live that way.
To be truly desperate.
To be treated that way. And if you think that, I mean, that's a common story for a lot of people.
And that was actually something that Destiny brought up in that debate, was about how where you come from, your economic status, your status in the social structure, all of that is far more, weighs far more on how likely you are to commit a crime than your skin color. Because you talked about, like, that's where that comment came up, because Destiny talked about how, like, poor white people are just as likely to commit a crime as a poor black person. And then...
Because it's almost like the people in charge want you to focus on the skin color of the offender and not the socioeconomic area of where all these offenders are coming from. Mm-hmm. Because when people realize, like, wait, if they have all the money and we have none of the money, and all the people with none of the money want money, and they don't have any sort of opportunity afforded to them to be able to actually get all of the money, stuff goes sideways.
That's when everything
flips. let's not focus on you know,
and the only thing that trumps and maybe I'm wrong on this, but the only thing that trumps skin color is money. And that's why you have people like, you know, you say, well, all black people are going to go to jail for crimes more so than white people, but I think you hit a threshold of how much money you have where that becomes less relevant. At least look at a guy like O.J. Simpson, who was so blatantly guilty.
No, absolutely, but that's, you know, the thing is, OJ could
have enough money.
He could afford Johnny Cochran.
Exactly. He had enough money that
he didn't have a public defender.
Right.
Who
didn't know the case.
Who
didn't really care.
Has 20 other cases that day.
Right.
Is way overloaded and is completely underpaid. So it's actually easier for him to strike a deal to still send the guy to jail. But at least then, well, I tried. Like, you still have to go to prison. Your life is pretty much ruined at this point.
If you have enough money, I absolutely believe. And Jesse, when you said earlier that we have a justice system that punishes black people more than white people.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered that because I kind of yelled about things, but you're absolutely right. And if I said something different, then I was in the heat of the moment. But you're absolutely right. But I believe that once you hit a certain threshold of money, that almost trumps it. That it's like, yes, okay,
money absolutely trumps race.
But you were super rich, so.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things, like, when we say wealthy, we're not talking about, like, top 1% black people.
Yeah, no.
I'm talking about, like, you have, like, upper middle class black people.
Yeah.
Somewhat, like, a black person in the upper middle class is more likely to go to jail for the same crime a lower class white person committed.
And look at a case like, I don't remember their names, but you guys, I hopefully will know what I'm talking about. There was, what was it, Brock Turner? Was that his name?
The
rapist?
Yeah.
I'm not trying
to
be funny.
Yeah.
That was his name, right?
Yeah.
So you had Brock Turner, who did these terrible things, you know, and got off with it.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, there was the black athlete who was also a good athlete and ended up going to jail for many years for almost the same thing. It's just, I think his was videotaped or something, so they had more evidence. But the point being is that they gave this guy this huge sentence for the same crime. Brock Turner got away with it. And even though they're both star athletes, you see where the race comes into play. Like, money wasn't as much of an issue in that, but because they weren't O.J. Simpson rich.
Right.
Right.
Well, it was easier to send him away.
It could have been an issue because I honestly, knowing Brock Turner's background, like, yes, his family and the university could have even, like, easily afforded a high-end lawyer.
Right.
Well, the thing that Shannon was talking about,
the judge was an alumni from the school.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't know about that part. But in the story that Shannon mentioned, the school didn't back him, but could have.
Yeah.
Like, he was also a star athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But, the school chose
not
to.
But he was still black.
Because he was black.
Yeah.
And granted, like, I mean, and you, to not be devil's advocate at all, but you still just, we can't just say, oh, well, it's just because it's black. Like, that school's racist.
No, there was other, yeah, there was other factors.
But yeah, there's other factors.
It was videotaped.
It could have been an easier case or harder to try to defend.
It was definitely a case of, like, they had more evidence on the guy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, to just, because we were outraged by Brock Turner, mm-hmm. at the same time, to say Brock Turner should have gotten away with what he did, with evidence, with people there, with almost
the people who stopped him.
Yeah.
I think what's important to mention, though, about these two things, and what we might be mentioning, because we were talking about, like, cases being easier than the other, they were both convicted of the same crime.
Right.
Okay, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
They're both convicted of the same crime, but one got off with, what like did he get, months. Like 3 months?
He was given 6 months.
If you guys can't hear that,
that's a slap on the wrist.
That's a slap on the wrist.
I think he turned his phone on at the same time.
He did.
Yeah. One got a slap on the wrist, the other serving jail time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, because that, and like I said, in other situations, yeah, there could be other factors, but yeah, no, in this one is very clear, they're both convicted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it was mm-hmm. just, it wasn't like one person was convicted of a more severe version. It's just.
It was the same thing.
What was the, it's the 30 Rock line, the criminal head shape.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I do not.
I think it's Jack Donaghy's mom or something. Or no, it's Leo, Dr. Spaceman. Dr. Spaceman tells Tracy, Tracy Morgan, you have a criminal head shape.
Oh, are they doing the old
where they take the shape of your skull?
It's funny mm-hmm. when people say things like that, because Mr. Burns said it in The Simpsons, and it's so archaic that you're like, well, no one believes that. But there probably are people that believe that.
They're definitely
just
people
like that believe you hear someone like JonTron say, well, there's no such thing as discrimination. Well, oppression doesn't exist in America, and you laugh because you're like, well, that is such an outrageous claim to make. No one will believe that. But they do.
But there are a lot of people who actually
a president got elected on stupid beliefs. That's how many people want to believe that, because it makes them feel better about their own
Because your
views.
Own echo chamber and worldview can just be reaffirmed. It doesn't matter that the information is coming from – it doesn't matter where the information is coming from. It's, you know, it's just, oh, well, someone else is saying it, so that just backs up my belief.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that it's just a circle of the same three people quoting the same three people.
Yep.
And these people aren't going to go away.
And that's the thing. And so,
they will. Like, over time, this will go away. And it's like, it's the point I made earlier. The fact that there are people complaining about PC culture means that.
Yeah, but do you really, and I mean this in all sincerity, do you really think it's going to go away?
Not entirely, but eventually,
it'll
long
be much
time from now.
Yeah, it'll. I still say that the PC side is winning.
Yes.
My huge argument with I liked there's a Google Chrome extension that changes all news stories. It replaces PC culture with treating people with basic human dignity. Has treating people with basic human dignity gone too far? And it's one of those things where. And maybe it's just like super naive of me to say, but it's like, oh, well, you know, microaggressions, you know, get used to it because the world is macroaggressive. Like, you know, what do you expect? You got to prepare because the world is a cruel and terrible place. So, you know, you just might as well get used to it now. What's so wrong with thinking that maybe it shouldn't be?
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to prepare yourself for all of these horrors that are completely man-made?
That we don't have to face.
That we truly don't. Like, there's no reason behind them. And again, like, I know that's being, you know, bleeding heart, libtard, whatever.
I feel that way, and as stupid as it sounds, because everyone feels this way, I'm sure. But I felt that way about war recently. Because the past few days, I have, and I've told you this, that I've had such a panic about my own mortality that I started to think, how could people anywhere kill someone else and make it seem so insignificant, like a human life being so insignificant of, well, it just happens, it's war, or, well, it just happens, it's crime, like Chicago, where the murder rate is so astronomical. How could people view each other so poorly when death is so permanent that they would kill each other like that? And why is that something we have to deal with? Why do people not go, clearly, this is not how humanity should be?
Right.
Like, how does that belief still exist that killing each other and being terrible to each other and oppressing and being racist and all these things, how can that still be a thought that people have of being okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Because to circle all the way back to, like, our original point, like, that Ali brought up, you know, because we started talking about, like, oh, well, that's gay or, like, that's retarded. That's still one that is just, like, throughout high school. Like, mm-hmm. everything was.
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone was.
Like, I still hear almost daily someone at least say, oh, that's retarded.
And it still pops up into my head.
Yep.
Like, as a first response. And it's like, I'm actively trying to, no, something else.
Yeah.
You know, go to something else.
Because there's other options. That's stupid.
Right.
That's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, oh, but it's hard hitting and edgy. It's gay. You know, it really.
Well, because, like, I feel like, because I had the same struggle first with, well, you're like saying something is gay, like as, you know, a negative thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I managed to stop that for the most part, like, back in college. But I was having the same struggle. However, saying something is retarded, like, that is still just a daily thing for me. Like, it just pops up. Like, well, that's stupid.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous is one that I'm sure you guys have heard me say frequently. Mm-hmm. I'll call things ridiculous. And that's because I've started to call it retarded. And then I change it up halfway through.
Yeah. It's just one of those things because I don't think anyone ever actually meant it to be like, oh, well, because gay is bad. Because retarded is bad.
Yeah.
It's not that connection that, again, you consciously make.
But someone did.
But that's like the joke.
And that's how it started.
That's like
clearly.
The joke Colin Moriarty made about women. I'm sure, and I probably sound like I'm switching sides, but I like to understand both sides. I like to understand all aspects of an argument. But I'm sure when he said that, it's harmless. He's not making fun of anyone in particular. Right. He's not saying women are terrible. It's just, well, that's just a stupid
throwaway joke.
And for me as a white man or man, don't even put race into it. Just as a man.
It's just old man.
I heard that joke and I'm, you know, well, what's so bad about it? Like, he didn't say bitch. He didn't call a woman. He didn't slut shame. Mm-hmm. He didn't do these things that I have been told are offensive to women. So why is it so bad? And then when Allie is describing why it's bad and she has tears in her eyes, I don't understand that. Like, I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm saying I didn't understand it because I don't live in her shoes. Because
you never lived it.
I've never lived it.
You never exclusively were.
That's that privilege.
It is. It absolutely is. And then when you see something like that, I believe there's two kinds of people. There's someone that sees Allie with tears in her eyes describing it and goes, oh man, I just realized something.
Right.
A light bulb just appeared over my head.
Right.
And then there's other people and the dangerous ones who hear something like that and just go, suck it up. Why are you crying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a
joke.
That's
another thing that you shouldn't tell someone is to suck it up.
That was the thing that, I was real worried that as you were doing the devil's advocate thing, that you were going to go to of the, oh, well, look, the woman getting emotional.
No.
Yeah, that would have been real bad.
No. Star Wars laptop would have been thrown across the room.
And again, and to be clear, I'm not making that joke now. Like, that's not me. I know. That's not me doing that.
I can't make that joke because one, I get more emotional than she does. Like, there are, and maybe it's because of my experiences in life, you know, losing my parents, the sicknesses, the depression, the poverty, whatever. But there are times I get emotional daily. I tear up at commercials. Like, I get just, I know, like, mentally, I know I'm done.
I got genuinely sad when I drove past Hastings and it was empty yesterday.
Yeah.
I looked and was like, I really miss that store.
I have. I'm sorry, Ali. Let me just a real quick story. I have a blue bunny that sits on my bed. It is probably a $3 blue bunny that I bought from Walmart, on Easter years ago with Lindsay. And there are some days that I can pick up that bunny and stare at it and I just want to cry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. Like, so that I can't make fun of anyone for being emotional because I'm a wreck.
Well,
you know?
and not that you would make fun of her specifically, just that idea that, oh, well, women are more emotional. Mm-hmm. Women, you know, yeah. they always overreact. It's
like the It's Always Sunny joke that they made it of on.
Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just goes, what? Whoa.
Hey, don't worry. We're trying to have a calm conversation here. Like,
yeah.
And I'm the same way. Like, growing up, like, ever since I was a little kid, it was super easy to make me cry.
Yeah.
Like, throughout grade school, like.
I was a stone for a while.
And it was one of those things where, and that was a thing, that was kind of a disconnect that me and my stepdad had. Because I always, you know, bring it back to the Hank Hill, Bobby Hill relationship.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it was. My stepdad is a loving, wonderful man, and I will never say anything otherwise. He is very outdated in a lot of his beliefs and a lot of his worldviews. And we don't see eye to eye on those things. And we talk every once in a while, like, never get super, like, we could never have this kind of discussion.
Yeah.
It just, but it's one of those things where he never got that, like, at all, because he grew up in the, he really grew up in the time of boys do not cry. Yeah.
Boys
that
don't
is
cry.
Not allowed.
Weak, showing emotion is weakness. You're weak. You
tough
all
it up,
things.
Walk it off,
suck it up,
rub some dirt on it. Yeah. And
like
whereas,
Bray Wyatt.
whereas, like, whether or not it was a conscious choice that my mom made, like, she never discouraged me from showing emotion or crying. I had a teacher who I never particularly cared for. When I was in eighth grade, one of my classmates died, real unexpectedly. She was in a plane crash, and it killed her whole family, and it was super tragic.
Ooh.
And when they told us that, like, and we weren't even, like, particularly close. Like, we weren't friends. But, like, I cried a lot, and this teacher came up to me, and she's like, don't listen to anybody. You know, you can cry. It's fine. Don't feel bad about this. And that still, like, sticks. Oh, man. I just realized that, like, I never really truly processed that.
Oh, so those, like, moments. Those are great moments.
So it's just like, oh, yeah, no, that isn't, like, that is something that really stuck with me. Like, and that happened in eighth grade. So still just seeing that kind of, you know, toxic masculinity of, oh, well, he's a wuss. You know, again, it goes back to that whole, the name calling and
I got bullied. You're going to get the last point.
Okay.
And you're gonna go as long as you want.
Okay.
By the way. I got bullied in eighth grade. Eighth grade was the worst year of my life because I got bullied a lot. I had bad acne. Like I was that stereotypical, just like let's pick on him type person. Plus I was poor. I had the generic shoes. Right. I had holes in my pants, stuff like that. Like I was that kid. So I got bullied a lot. And my dad, the first time my dad had a heart attack. And I went to school. My dad was in the hospital and I was freaking out because I'd never experienced anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I was in art class and one of the people that bullied me, I'm sitting there with my head kind of down and he's kind of making fun of me and I start crying. And he's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, my dad had a heart attack. And he just kind of patted me on the back and stopped messing with me for that day. It didn't last forever.
Right.
But he stopped at that point. And it's little moments like that, that like, yeah, it wasn't perfect. But considering what I was, you know, maybe
some humanity.
Maybe the world isn't so bad sometimes.
Right.
Allie, go ahead. We got to get out of here. I want you to make the last point as long as you want.
So,
the floor is yours. Hurry up.
Back to the things not to say. Telling someone they're being too sensitive, that they shouldn't cry, anything around the point that emotions are bad. Don't. Ever. Because if they are upset by someone, about something or someone or whatever it is, they have a right to be. And the fact that they are is helping them. The fact that they are allowing themselves to feel it, to cry, is going to help them in the long run. Because whenever you don't deal with things is whenever it takes so much longer, and I know that from just what happened to me and not dealing with it for almost 5 years. Not accepting it that it happened for over a year.
Yeah, don't bottle things up.
And,
like, do not.
And well, whenever...
That's what my Irish heritage tells me to do.
Me too. And you see what we're like now.
And whenever you tell someone, whenever you see someone that is crying or is getting emotional and you tell them not to and you treat it like it's a weakness, you are actually harming that person and the society around you. Because as you're telling someone not to cry, not to feel any emotion, someone else is hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
or that
deciding
person can take that forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're deciding that no, that I'm weak if I do that. If I show emotion, I'm weak. And that's where you get the almost classical idea of humanity that the perfect human doesn't show emotion. And that distracts from progress. That distracts from so many things.
You should watch, I don't know if you've, it's not the best movie ever, but you should watch a movie called Equilibrium.
I have watched that
with
movie.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
'Cause the basis of that movie is that in the future, like, emotions are suppressed.
It's actually a solid action movie.
It is. It was really good. You don't show emotion, and then one guy, like, rebels because emotions are good.
Because emotions,
Green Lantern.
Whenever you have emotions, is whenever you know what to work towards.
Yeah.
Whenever you know what needs to be worked on and what is good and what is bad. Emotions control so many things. And whenever you tell someone to suppress them, you're hurting everything and everyone. And there is so much that can be done with just letting someone experience something and letting them experience it on their time.
Yeah. I don't have, clearly I don't have the same experiences that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never, I hate when people compare one pain to another because it may seem, what I went through in my youth with my family to me feels insignificant to what you went to. But at the same time, it's what I went through. Mm-hmm. And to me, it felt very important.
That's another thing that I always disliked is people trying to diminish what other people have gone through because it doesn't, it's that compare. Kind of gatekeeping of.
Because you can never win that argument. Like, you can always say, well, yeah, okay, Allie, you went through that, but this other guy went through this, so why is yours so bad?
It would be like me trying to tell you, like, if we were closer when it happened, like when your dad passed, like, yeah, but you got how many years with him? My dad died when I was two. You don't know what being upset about losing a family member is like, because at least you have all these memories. Like, you know, you don't get to.
It's different.
You don't get to do that to people.
Yeah. Because I could counter it and be like, well, you didn't know your dad that well, so why are you sad about it?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's like when we start comparing pains and trying to decide who was worse, like, that's bad.
That's not a game anybody wins.
No,
it's not. And I remember a long time ago, because I, for the majority of my life, have always had the idea that if I show emotion, people are going to think I'm weak. And it comes, honestly, I think it comes partly from how boys are treated, how men are treated, and that they can't show weakness. Because as a woman, I thought that I had to act more masculine to be accepted or to be liked. I couldn't be the stereotypical woman because that was all negative aspects that I heard.
Until you're trying to woo a partner.
Yeah.
And then you have to switch it around.
But then that's,
get
that's
that dress
very,
on.
And that's a very physical aspect of it, typically. And that's not really good either. But it's a long time ago, I read something that's like, if you tell someone a reason not to cry, how is that much different than telling someone a reason not to smile? And would you ever?
Damn it. Because I was going to end the show by saying, okay, but Allie, how do you feel when someone tells you to smile more? And
that's,
then,
I mean, that's, that was the other thing.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. If someone is legitimately happy about something, as long as it's not harmful towards someone else.
I just want to point out I actually have had people ask me, why don't you smile more? That has legitimately happened to me in school and later years especially, because when I'm not with you guys, anyone can tell, anyone that knows me has seen me, I don't smile a lot. I smile with you guys. You guys make me happy.
Make you.
Yeah.
We drag it out of you kicking and screaming.
But I don't smile a lot. When I was growing up, everyone would always ask me, you don't smile. You don't laugh. Why don't you smile more? And I always just got annoyed with it. But until I saw Audra post something about it, I honestly didn't realize that was such a thing for women. Mm-hmm. That they're told, why don't you smile more? You'd be so much prettier if you smile, stuff like that.
I was guilty of that. That was during my nice guy phase. That was pretty much high school and probably my first 2 years of college. But that was also like dead. And coincidentally, I'm sure there's no, I lost it. But it definitely explains the overlap of the, that's when everything was gay, everything was retarded. Kind of. Mm-hmm. That Venn diagram was just a circle.
But we get smarter and we grow up and we get experience and we really do have to get out of here. We're like 16 minutes over. No one that listens to this show probably has very different beliefs than we have. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Because, there's a reason I watch like MSNBC and CNN more than Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I watch Fox, I'm probably just going
to
get angry.
Well, and at the same time, it kind of goes back to what I was talking about a few months ago. And that's what, I feel like tonight was. Like, especially when it got a little bit more heated. And I just kind of was like, I don't know what's happening. It's just, we're trying to be more open. Like Allie was saying, the dialogue, the discussion of, okay, well, maybe why do they feel this way? Why do they think this?
What can we do with JonTron to people like JonTron, and instead of just outright dismissing them as stupid,
as opposed to like what you were expecting us to come on and just be like, oh, he's trash, that guy, I hope he loses his chance, like all of that, like, because that's just, it's not constructive. And yeah, we can be outraged by it, and yeah, we can be upset by it, but there's no point to just blindly attacking someone for other beliefs, whether those beliefs are offensive and racist and wrong. It's still just, then you're just on their level.
Yeah.
That doesn't help anybody. It's the discussion. It's the dialogue. Like you said, you talk about, cause it's happened with you before. Like, you're someone who is open-minded. And so if you believe that, you know, if you think, if you have this opinion, and then we come and tell you, well, maybe adjust it because look at it this way, look at it this way, you do. And more often than not, you kind of will come around to more our side of thinking, or at least you say you do.
No, I do. You guys, you have very much adjusted, like,
But there's a huge difference between you doing that and someone, you know, like you said earlier, just who just doubles down and takes it as a personal attack.
Yeah.
And then will then just, oh, well, you know, whatever, I'm just gonna go talk to these other people because they just blindly agree with me.
Yeah, and the scary part about that, and I know I said we gotta go, but the scary part about that is that when Jesse and I were yelling at each other, cause Jesse and I never yell at each other.
It's very, no, actually, that never happens.
We disagree. Mm-hmm. We disagree. But never, that may have been the first time you and I have ever went face to face and yelled at each other about something. And what's scary about that to me is that I did not necessarily believe what I was arguing. And that frightens me because I don't know why I argued. Like, I don't know why I yelled and I got so into it. I don't know why I told Allie, who I love with all my life, I told her to shut up. Because I was so angry about something that I didn't believe. And then I wonder, these people like Richard Spencer and these people like Riley Johnson, when they get so mad online and they post, well, no, don't tell me I'm wrong because you're wrong. White people are victims and stuff like that, is because they don't believe it. They just, maybe there's something in them like me where it's like, oh, you're telling me you're arguing with me? Let's go. I don't care. I don't care what the argument is.
I also will say it probably didn't help that the argument that was happening didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, that was my fault.
It felt like there was multiple points trying to be made, but they were all coming at different angles.
I used to be so good at arguing.
That's why I just kind of stayed quiet mostly too, because like, this is uncomfortable. I also can't really follow.
I tried to change it because I felt like the point Jesse was making was a very infuriating point, and the point that I wanted to make was more... Well, I don't know. I didn't see him as infuriating.
Maybe this will be less aggressive.
Well, yeah, the whole thing there was just trying to like it was trying to make points about two inequivalent things.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were trying to argue inequivalencies, and it just wasn't working.
But because we're both stubborn and Irish. But I fully concede the point that like a lot of the things that I argued in that like were just I didn't make a lot of sense, and I used to be so good at arguing because I did it all the time. And I could make my points, but I used to be really good at yelling them, you know, and through this.
Whoever's louder is righter.
Yeah. And through this show, we've all become so much calmer and we've learned how to express our,
I went the other way because I never talked because of the things that we've talked about in this show.
Okay, so we've calmed down. You've gotten angrier.
Well, the thing is, this is a balance that needs to happen.
Right. I don't think she's gotten angrier. She's just because it's...
I'm more vocal.
Vocal, outspoken, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah. Whereas Jesse and I got just belligerent.
And it's one of those things, like, I never, like, whenever I'm having an argument or a discussion with anyone, like, as soon as someone raises their voice, that's usually the end of it. And I think, like, and Shannon does similar things, so I want to say, like, that was part of it because he and I never actually raise our voices in an argument. We were just like, no, wait, why are you disagreeing with me?
I raise my voice in arguments because I'm used to being talked over.
That'll happen.
I only raise my voice in arguments when it's something that I truly just cannot fathom. Like with Nate, like some of the things he said, I honestly did raise my voice because some of the things he said were so outrageously wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that because I'm the kind of person that when I truly believe something, I'll back it up. I don't care what the consequences are. Like, you know, Boogie was talking about, well, I don't want to lose subscribers and I won't get these job offers from these guys. Like, if I truly believe something on this show that will lose me listeners.
You're more willing to die on the hill.
I'll die on the hill. I'll argue the point. But that was not something I wanted to really die for.
That wasn't the hill.
Because I don't believe that, like, this is not a racist society. I still hold on to my belief that not all white people are racist or oppressive, and they're not, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We got to get out of
here.
We did it.
We all still love each other.
Right? All right, truth be told, and this is going to sound like a joke, everybody's laughing. As soon as the show's done, I'm going to clam up. I'm going to take my stuff. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sit in my room all night and just stare at the wall thinking about what I've done.
Oh.
That is not a joke. So hopefully I'll reboot myself for tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. F that owl.
F that owl.
That's a good way to do it, yeah. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you learned something.
Or at least were entertained.
At least
Ethan, did you learn anything?
Yes.
Cool. Ethan's on board. All right.
We did it. Mission accomplished banner.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great night. And
be kind to one another.
There you go.
Yes.
Go download that add-on. to change PC culture to
treating people with basic human dignity.
Love it. Have a good night, guys.